1230 WSOO, Carly Simon. It's 9:09 now on your Tuesday morning, and we're on the phone. It threw me off on it's Tuesday, but we had to switch David John for today. But David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital, joining us this morning. Good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Pretty good. I mean, the weather over the weekend was fantastic. I mean, we got a little bit of rain now, but the snow's melting. Golf season's got to be coming pretty soon, so that's feeling good, right?
Yeah, that'll be really nice. Hopefully we don't get any more of the white stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're still probably going to get some, but we'll see. But anyway, we're on the phone to talk with you, obviously, about the COVID-19. We're into the year now. And I think the last time we talked, I looked back and I saw the first time that I mentioned COVID to you was actually during an interview. And it was kind of an offhanded comment in February of last year. Like, oh, there's this thing that's in the news, COVID-19, you know, and it's like we talked about it for 2 minutes, and then we went on to talk about other things at the hospital. It's like, wow, what a difference a year has made, you know, since that first mention of that.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a roller coaster ride, and the roller coaster continues. So, we're seeing a definite increase in the number of positives in our community. And around the state, I read an article yesterday that says Michigan is the new hotspot for COVID cases in the country. Our data is showing that. Yesterday we had 20 positive tests. We haven't had 20 positives in a week in probably a month and a half or 2 months. And when you look at it, there was weeks we went with 11, 16, 21, and now in the first 2 days of this week, we've had 32. So it is concerning, obviously. The biggest number of positives is coming from the age range of 16 to 30. Mm-hmm. So it's impacting the schools and the younger people. I know in the state of Michigan, there's been a 30% increase in admissions to hospitals in the last 6 days. The age category that's being impacted the most is 50 to 59-year-olds now,
right,
which probably tells you that the vaccine is working on the 65 and over category, which most of those people have been able to get the vaccine already, but we just dropped down in the last week or so to be able to give vaccines to the 50 to 59 category.
Right.
We're doing the best we can with the vaccine we have in our county. I think we're probably one of the top counties in the state because last week we had the major vaccination clinic at Lake State partnering with Bay Mills Tribe and Lake State and Sioux Tribe and the county emergency preparedness, along with the Lake State nursing students. And we had 2,340 vaccines to give out, and we only gave out 1,635. So when you look at our county, I think probably 65% to 70% of the people in our county have been vaccinated. The other 30-some percent probably don't want to be vaccinated,
right,
because it's their personal choice. But we had to accept people from all over the state on last Friday, and we had people coming. There was a charter bus that came up from Ann Arbor with University of Michigan students. There were people from Detroit that came in because they're the vaccine is much more scarce down there at this point. So we're doing a great job there, and it seems to be fairly effective, and obviously no major side effects that we've seen yet.
Do you have you mentioned the uptick in cases here? Have you seen hospitalizations here locally go up at all?
Yes, we now have two.
Okay.
Two people in the hospital. We went quite some time, probably the last 2 or 3 weeks with no inpatients. Currently we have two. One is in ICU and one's on med surge, and with the number of positives that are going up, we can expect that to expand even more in the next week or so. We also have two employees who turned up positive. The interesting thing about that is one of them had been completely vaccinated and still got COVID, which happens because we know the Pfizer vaccine is 95% effective. So that means one person in 20 will still get the virus. But the thing with that is if you're vaccinated, when you get the virus, it's a much milder case. So in this case, there's an employee that tested positive, but they have very mild symptoms and just need to be off because, you know, they have the virus. The other employee who was tested positive did not have the vaccine, and actually that person is sick enough to be in the hospital. So, the people out there might think, well, I don't want to get the vaccine for X, Y, and Z, but the vaccine does seem to prevent people from getting severely ill and potentially dying. I know the new AstraZeneca vaccine that is just going through the FDA's process, and it's a two-shot vaccine that probably won't be approved until June, maybe something like that. They say that they're 70% effective against catching COVID and 100% effective from not dying from COVID. Basically, they're saying that in their test sample, nobody who received the vaccine and got sick died from COVID after getting the vaccine. So that's good news as well, because, you know, if we can get to those type of statistics where if you have the vaccine, even if you're 1 in 20 that's going to get COVID, you're going to have mild symptoms and not pass away from getting the virus.
We're talking to David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital. Dave, you said a lot of the cases that you're seeing now in the county are younger people. Do we know what that's being attributed to?
Well, I mean, not for certain. I know originally, you know, we heard of some cases that were going through the local school systems, that sort of thing. They probably have more knowledge of that than I do. Right. I just know that, yesterday, we had 20 people test positive, and I assume some of it was there from younger people. I haven't looked at the statistics, but, you can make any assumptions. Is it because, people are back in school now, so they're closer? Than when they were doing it virtually, but at the same time, you got to weigh that. You got to weigh that against the behavioral type health issues that come from isolation for young kids too. And they need that contact with their friends, and in person learning is much better than remote learning. So you have that. A double-edged sword, at least for the younger people. They're when they are positive, they're not as severe. They're usually mild symptoms or no symptoms, but the issue becomes that they can bring that home to grandma and grandpa or somebody else, and if they're not vaccinated, it could exasperate into something more serious.
You mentioned that. I just saw that the Suhai boys basketball team had to stop competing because of COVID, and did the Brimley boys and girls basketball teams aren't going to be taking part in the districts here over the next couple of weeks because of COVID. So I mean, that's tough. I mean, again, that's hard for those kids. They've been playing all year and they want to get to the next level. They missed out on it last year because of COVID, and now COVID's doing it to them again. So
right, and for the seniors, it's really tough because, if you were a basketball player and you were a junior last year and a senior this year, you didn't get to play in a district tournament, any time during your high school career, especially, if you didn't make the varsity as a sophomore or a freshman, which most people don't.
Right.
But, that takes a lot away, and, it's just one thing where, you know, somebody gets it on the team, you test positive, and then the whole team can't play. And that happened at the college level as well. You know, there was one team that had to forfeit that was in the NCAA basketball tournament, and I've seen a couple teams in Division II basketball that had to forfeit.
I think one of the teams that got selected for the NCAA hockey tournament had to pull out because of COVID, and they had an alternative team that I think it was Notre Dame was the one that took their place because of that. So,
right. So you know, it's out there, and you know, it's you would hate to have any team that made it that far have to stop. Because they have a positive test. So again, you know, how do we prevent it? Well, you know, get vaccinated. That helps 95% of the time. Wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance, all those type of things definitely help. And I'm sure anybody that's on a sports team right now is probably being isolated, and that's no fun either.
Sure.
You know, when you just won the WCHA championship and you're heading to the NCAA playoffs and you have to be completely isolated except for practices and whatever, that isn't fun for the kids either. They can't really celebrate together their accomplishments, but that's today's environment, and that's what they have to do to remain safe.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the one employee that had been fully vaccinated and then contracted COVID. Does that person have to go? I mean, we've talked about, you know, over the past year about people quarantining for 14 days. Does that person, again, would need to quarantine for 14 days because of that?
Actually, I think it's 10 days, but yes.
Okay.
What our protocol is, you have to quarantine, be off work for the 10 days, and then before you would come back to work, you'd have to come to our occupational health department. They would have to, you know, examine you, make sure you still didn't have a fever, because that's one of the signs that you could still be shedding the virus. And so if you came and you didn't have a fever, you could return to work. But if you were still having symptoms or still having a fever, you could potentially be off longer than 10 days.
Well, it's we're not to the finish line yet, but it feels like we're pretty getting closer. And that vaccine clinic there at Lakes Date I think it was on Friday or whatever. Just amazing, you know, to see again all the agencies kind of getting together and doing this, and again people from around the state coming in to get vaccinated. I heard people that had come up from Grand Rapids and Lansing, and you mentioned, you know, a busload from U of M. That's crazy.
Right, and you know, we're fortunate here in our community because we have all the partners that are working together. I mean, you know, the Sioux Tribe gets their vaccine, Bay Mills Tribe gets their vaccine, you know, we get our vaccine, the health department gets their vaccine, and when you look at it, that's for our population density, that's a lot of vaccine coming in, and we've done a really good job of getting the vaccine out to those who want it. Now the question is, for anybody who didn't get the vaccine yet, how do you provide them with enough information, enough data, enough reasons for them to maybe change their mind and say, yeah, I think it is worth getting the vaccine. And you know, we still have we're trying, I think we have 700 doses left, and we got another 200 doses of Moderna for this week, so we need to continue to find people to give this vaccine to so that the vaccines don't outdate. And you know, we open it up to anybody 16 and over in our community, and or any other community. We'll probably do another clinic or some kind of clinic, maybe a walk-in type thing for those doses at some point in the next week or so. And the walk-in thing can be a little easier now because there isn't that mega mass of people that would all walk in at the same time, because most of the community has been vaccinated. So, you know, the thing with a walk-in is you hope, you know, you don't get a huge crowd coming in, big lines and whatever. But now with most people vaccinated, I don't think that would happen. Mm-hmm. But again, our goal is to get shots in arms. Our goal is to vaccinate our entire community. And if we have any left, then vaccinate people in other communities as well, because the more people that get vaccinated, the quicker we get back to normal.
And I was just thinking about, as you were talking about that, I'm thinking about the poor people that live across the bridge over in Sioux, Ontario, who it just seems like it's night and day difference between here and Canada for the vaccine. Have you talked to anybody, any of your counterparts over in Canada, about the lack of vaccines over there? And, I mean, they've got to be thinking, my gosh, they got vaccines. They don't want to go bad. We'd like to have that problem over here, you know?
Right. Yeah, and we haven't thought about that. I don't know if the border would let somebody come over just to get a vaccine or not. But I was listening to radio station, and there was an add-on about, you know, that people 70 over could go to a website and sign up for the vaccine, and the ad was for, well, you know, it's not quite available yet.
Right.
And so, you know, it's delayed in when those people can get it. So you're right, there's a definite difference, because if they're still working on the population of 70 and over, and, you know, we're down to 16 and over at this point, we're much further ahead. But, you know, I would certainly think if people could come over from Canada to get their vaccine, from a border perspective, you know, we would be accepting of them as well.
Sure.
Just to help the you know, the border community out, is because we want to get back to normal there too, where commerce and traffic can flow back and forth between the two Sioux. A lot of people are missing out on things that they've been doing for many years and can't do because of it right now.
Yeah, and I was talking last week, when I was talking to the health department, I mentioned them. My dad lives in New York, not in upstate New York, and he's turns 80 this year and hasn't gotten his vaccine yet. And it, I was on the phone with the health department in his county, and it's, we're so fortunate to have what we have here, because it's a mess in New York. It's a complete and utter mess in New York, and it's like, my gosh, I wish I could just move my dad here to get a vaccine. You know, it's like, you know, it's just terrible. I mean, to deal with they just have no clue what's going on over there. So,
right. Well, and you know, tell your dad to come visit one of the walk-in clinics. You know, the only bad thing is he'll have to be here for 3 weeks to get his second shot. So,
yeah. Well, he'd probably be all right with that. So he could visit with me and my brother and sister. So, but yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I guess I bring that up because I just want people to understand how incredibly fortunate we are here in our little Chippewa County in Upper Michigan to have all the resources that we have to battle this, where a lot of people would just, you know, would literally die to get this vaccine, and they're trying and they can't get it. And here we've got people bussing in from Ann Arbor to get it from us. So it's
right.
Pretty incredible. So,
you know, and the other thing, in the other thing that most people probably don't realize is that, you know, we get the vaccine at no cost from the federal government or the state government, but we could be charging an administration fee. I mean, Medicare just up their administration fee, what they'll pay, to $40 per vaccine. So if you have two vaccines, we could be billing insurances, you know, for $80. Now, the rule is you can't balance bill a patient for anything, but we could be billing Medicare and the patient's insurance for administration of these, and we're not. That's our contribution to our community. So the other day, with, you know, 2,340 vaccines, we could have billed $96,000 out for administration fee. Instead, you know, we're donating that to our community because, you know, there's people there that are still being paid.
Mm-hmm.
There's volunteers for sure, but, you know, it costs us money to do those clinics, but it's so important to us to get those vaccines out that we're foregoing any revenue that we could have received from this. And a lot of hospitals and a lot of places are billing those things out, but we've decided not to do that. So mm-hmm. it's a benefit to our community. You know, they can get the vaccine and they don't get, their insurance doesn't get charged for any administration fee.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Again, another great thing for living where we do, you know, we're very fortunate. Anything else you want to add, Dave, before we let you go?
No, I just hope people stay safe with this increase. You know, we have to get back being diligent again because summer's coming, and I know we all want to be out and able to enjoy things normally. And so we need to somehow do what's necessary to squelch this this spike that we're seeing right now.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, we appreciate everything. You know, and again, thanks to everybody who volunteered and helped with that huge clinic he had last week with Bay Mills. It was so great, and obviously fantastic that a lot of people getting that first dose of the vaccine and getting even closer and closer to, like you said, to getting this back to some sense of normalcy. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. All right.
All right. Thanks, Mark.